Welcome to the 95th Monk in My Back podcast. Read the blog at monkcomments.com and contact us at monkcast@gmail.com with comments and contributions. In the pod, we stand around our spinning orders, contemplate the news in news ambush, this week including some important mom updates. And in the spotlight, Nick takes a look at some blank slate books. Momcast, the comic book podcast that hopes to connect all the badges. Around the mic tonight are...
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Jane.
Hello, Jane.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, Jane.
We missed you.
I'd forgotten.
I haven't had a chance to listen to last week's yet.
Oh, yeah, well, you're right. There's no need to do that.
I will.
It was a bit of a sausage fest.
Was it?
Yeah.
Were we nice about her?
No, we were horrible.
I can't really remember. I was on a lot of drugs last week.
Oh, yeah, we all were.
Yeah.
It was like an opium den from turn of the century New York.
Am I going to be worrying about how loud this is the whole time?
I suspect you are, but you'll be able to pick it up in the edit. It's fine.
Okay, good. Right, cool.
So if you can't hear us this week, it's because we're recording on a whole new device.
Yes. You've been on holiday.
Yes.
How was it? Did
that
you do stuff?
Lovely. Did lots of stuff. Went to Brighton and saw Brighton. And
I went to Brighton. There was lots of sex stuff there.
Yes. Went past quite a few sex shops.
You went past quite a few sex shops?
Yeah. Because I kept giggling at them. One of them was really cool. It was near the hotel that we were staying at, but we didn't go in there. I can't remember what it was called. Something Dream.
Cool Sex Shaggy Times.
Wet Dream.
No, I don't think it's called Wet Dream. But, yeah, it was lovely. And
you stayed in a hotel?
Yes.
We stayed in a B&B run by two gay gentlemen.
Okay, well, it was a B&B. It was called a hotel, but...
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, they did dinner. You could have dinner, I guess. So, yeah,
so it wasn't
whatever.
A B&B, was it?
It was a very odd setup, because it's...
You're an odd setup.
It was down... It was, if you're looking at sea, it was to the left, and it was in a road that sort of goes vertically to the sea.
At right angles to the sea. Yeah.
And the hotel had like a sister hotel, which was two doors down, and that was two houses made the one hotel.
But they weren't talking because the other hotel had a relationship with the first hotel's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And they hadn't spoken for a few years.
And that's why there was a house in the middle.
And there was a weird sort of frosty sort of vibe between the two of them, like they're putting on, you know, a front for appearance
sake.
They
have different names,
customers.
So I think they even changed their names. Yeah. It was
lovely. I hate being in that sort of situation. It makes you really uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Wandered around the lanes, walked on the beach, went to Sea Life Centre.
Did you go to the comic shop? You went to Sea Life Centre?
No, I forgot to go to it. It was about 5 o'clock and David Lee was like, oh no, we didn't go to the comic shop.
There's a really good comic shop.
I know. Well, I didn't
Jane doesn't care for comics.
I'll go next time. Yeah, I hate them. And, yeah, did lots of lovely things.
Sex shops, you can go into them in Brighton because they're not quite as seedy as they are in Southampton.
That's true. The one that I liked had a very vibrant front. That's why I wanted to go in there because it looked funny.
I don't know. A Taste of Amsterdam is a very classy sex shop.
I meant Southampton specifically.
Yeah, no, that's in...
Oh, there's a sex shop in... Oh,
in Millbrook.
You don't mean in Amsterdam, sex shops are
good. I always chuckle, because it's on our way back from when we walk the dogs, and it's called A Taste of Amsterdam.
Mm.
And for me, A Taste of Amsterdam is Heineken and cannabis, frankly. So.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
Because Juana.
Oh,
that's rubbish. So, that was your week.
Yeah.
Was there anything else?
Yeah, I went to the Goodwood Festival of Speed, and saw lots of fast cars.
Right.
And Jensen Button was driving one of the fast cars, and that pleased me. And I got sunburnt.
I like his name because it's like Button, which I like.
Like Button Moon.
Like, a bit like Button Moon.
Do you think
cute as a button.
Do you think his dad's Mr. Spoon? Oh, no, yeah, Mr. Spoon.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Really?
Well, they're not the Buttons, are they? Mr. and Mrs. Spoon. They're Mr. and Mrs. Spoon. They're not Mr. and Mrs. Button. They don't own the whole moon.
Maybe in Sebastian Vettel's dad's Mr. Spoon.
No, because he's something to do with spring water.
Is he?
I think so.
Oh, lovely.
Isn't Vettel a spring water?
A French thing? One. Happy Bastille Day to all of our French listener.
Happy... Do we have a French listener?
I don't know.
Bonjour!
Bonjour!
Comme hello!
Le songe dans la arme.
Où est les boulangeries?
Happy Bastille Day! Allez, allez, allez!
Donald La Rochelle.
Jean-Claude, je t'aime.
This computer wants to restart and download updates, yeah. Doesn't it? So we're going to have to keep quite an eye on that.
That computer can fuck off.
James, your week?
I started a llama farm this weekend.
You didn't.
Alpaca wool's very profitable these days, so I've got a herd of 16 llamas.
In your garden?
In my garden, yeah.
Could you do that so I'd never come over?
Yeah.
Are you scared of llamas?
Haven't you heard the story?
James, listen to the podcast.
Have you heard the story?
That you were...
did I tell it last week?
Oh, I'm sure you did. Last week's yet.
No, don't spoil it then. It's one of my stories. I thought I told everyone. It's along with the AT-AT story. It's one of the most traumatic stories of my childhood.
Don't tell me. Don't spoil it.
That's how we bonded, though, because we both have traumatic AT-AT present stories.
Yeah. But I don't think we mentioned the llama story last week. I don't think we did.
You and I may have discussed it because I've been obsessing about being a llama farm.
The story is quite simple. When I was a very small child, Jane... I wasn't a small child, Jane. I'm saying this to Jane, listener.
This story is actually the basis for the My Chemical Romance song, The Black Parade, I believe.
Is it? When I was a very small child, we went to a petting zoo. The family went to a petting zoo, and I was much shorter than all of the other children. And we went over to the llama enclosure, or whatever it was, and all of the other children were, like, reaching up and petting the llama, and I couldn't reach. And then the llama, and I had black curly hair, and the llama reached down, grabbed hold of my hair, and lifted me off the ground.
Oh my God. They had to
come over and try and wrest me free of the llama. But the only way to get a llama to open its mouth is to kill it. So I had to kill it.
Good.
That isn't the last bit. Isn't true.
But I
realised that the story lacked that sensationalist element.
I think
to
it should be the only way to get it open mouth is stick your finger in its bum.
And I was raised off the ground, and people had to come and rescue me.
That story is actually the basis for the famous song "You Lift Me Up."
It is by Michael Ball.
Who knows? It's a mystery to mankind.
No, it's a mystery. It's Toya.
Oh yeah, that's right. She was
mental.
Toya. that isn't what I did at all, I'm lying. I had a party for Scarlett, and it was nice.
Oh, yeah, but we were not here. No, we weren't invited.
You weren't invited, it was just family.
But we went to a... the baby... We went up to Oxford to see Amy's family, so we saw a baby.
Good.
Even if it wasn't Scarlett, she was still very cute.
Good.
So that's good.
Yes, that was pretty much my week. I've done a little else.
That's the only really good part of my week. Oh, and I've been watching with...
Mother.
Slowly, like, growing both disbelief and despair at the state of
everything in our country. If you talk about fucking journalism...
Everything in our country.
I'm going to come over there and I'm going to beat you with
the
microphone.
No, it's everything. It's all wrong.
I've kind of been avoiding Twitter.
It's everything, James. Yeah. It's everything. They're all in it. It's only a matter of time before the Freemasons come on. Also, I've been playing Assassin's Creed.
I don't know why it's such a revelation to everyone that everything's shit.
No, I know. But it's like suddenly having to deal with everyone else saying, we all thought it was shit before it was cool, didn't we?
It's like we've all collectively lost our coping mechanisms.
Well, I don't think we've necessarily had proof, but at the same time, I've been playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And
you're still playing that? You were saying last week you're playing that.
Yeah. Well, I played Portal 2 very quickly, but I've been playing Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and all of the backstory stuff when you go in and solve all the puzzles is all very Illuminati. Mm. They're controlling you. They're trying to rule the world. It takes in all of these different historical elements and claims.
Spoilers.
That it's all part of... Well, I mean, that's... If you played the other ones, then you'd know that anyway. So it has very much been a feeling of... The lizard people, they're trying to control us all by making really crappy news stories with tits.
If I was a lizard person, I wouldn't disguise myself as a mealy-mouthed-looking ginger lady.
No, but one of my favourite things about Rupert Murdoch Apparently, he's not the same guy from the A-Team in the 80s. Oh, yes, someone had to explain that to me today.
Howling mad Rupert Murdoch.
come
and ride in my plane, B.A.
He's also not the bear, apparently.
Just to clear that up, that was an Australian accent.
He kind of does look like a villainous character, doesn't he? So I quite like
I don't
that.
Think so. I quite like him, finding quite cuddly.
It might just be that I'm vaguely scared of old people. I'm terrified of old people.
Well, that's because we see a terrifying vision of our own futures, don't we?
Not when I look at Rupert Murdoch. I see a terrifying vision of his present, and he scares me.
He's got us all a present.
He's like the Emperor.
He is. Very much like the Emperor.
From the Star Wars films.
Royce!
Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi.
He wasn't in Star Wars.
No, he wasn't. That's true, but those are the Star Wars films.
I was going to say he's not even mentioned, of course he is.
On the subject of games, I got Red Dead Redemption for my birthday.
That's a good game.
It is.
Didn't you already play it?
I have. I've been playing it on my brother's PS3.
Did you finish it?
No.
You're going to be bereft, my friend, in a couple of weeks.
Don't tell her
but
that.
Don't, because you've already told me this. But my partner said to me, he really wanted me to show him the game. And I've already got 3 games on the go, so I didn't want to start until I finished the games. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. I'll just show him, 15, 20 minutes of it. An hour and a half later, I was still playing it. The next day I got home from work, 6 hours later, I was still playing it.
Yeah,
it's
no,
just,
that's...
You
it's
can't...
It's good.
It's very good. It's so pretty.
You know you're fully hooked in when you spend 3 hours just hunting.
That's, yeah.
In the forest.
Quite a few missions, but all I do is skin animals. And my boyfriend has a bit of a moral dilemma about that, because I take so much pleasure in skinning
animals. It's the Wild West. You're role-playing. It's fine.
He's aware it's not real.
Yes,
yeah.
He is aware.
It is quite great.
The horses. I keep skinning the horses.
Did you have the thing
upset.
That Akira the Don mentions in his song, that depressing moment when one of your horses first dies?
Yeah.
And you're like, because at that point, up to that point, you've kind of got the feeling you're supposed to keep hold of the same horse, so you don't realise that they're like 10 a penny in the West. So,
I only had about 4
did
in all
you?
My time. I try to be quite careful.
And my other
horses.
One got killed by baddies, though.
Oh. Well, my first one got shot by me by accident.
My first one was me. I accidentally thought we could manage a drop from a ledge that we couldn't manage. And
then before he dies, you give him horse pills and he's all right.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, mine did that, and he almost died, and I gave him horse pills and he's okay.
I did not know that happened. But the... The because in the bit at the beginning, the kind of as you're learning about everything, you've got that whole thing where the longer you stay on a horse, the more used to you it gets and the more it follows your command. And that makes you feel like you're supposed to keep hold of the same horse.
I discover an interesting glitch in the game.
What's that?
There's one, you know, you have to pick flowers or something in there. Yeah. There was one particular patch that I went to and all the controls froze. You could look around but you couldn't move.
Alright.
And I was like, oh, that's a bit weird. So I restarted it, did it again, went back to the same patch, did exactly the same thing. It's like the flower paralyses you or something.
That's a bit rubbish.
Yeah, it was weird.
Stop talking about this bollocks and do comics.
Yeah, sorry, I love that game.
Am I doing comics first?
Are
we doing comics,
you can James? Oh, there's no bullet point next to my name.
That means you don't exist.
You're optional.
You and Jane are bullet pointed, I am not bullet pointed.
Well, you're bullet pointed in my heart, and that's what's important.
I blame the idiot that put this together.
I bought loads of comics this week, but only have managed to read some of them. So there's a few Image comics, a few of the interesting Image comics that are coming out that I've got that I haven't had a chance to get to. I know one of you is going to talk about Little Depressed Boy, which I actually really enjoyed this week. Jane is going to talk about The Red Wing, but I have a few things to say about that when we get to it. Fear Itself Spider-Man finished this week. It was the three-part tie-in, Spider-Man tie-in with the Fear Itself storyline, and no, I'm not sure about the cover either, James, to be honest.
I'm not taken with it at all.
But it's Chris Yost and Mike McCone. James is freaking out every time the computer comes up and says, restart now, restart later, but I wasn't entirely sure if he was having a seizure or not that time. I got very confused.
Both.
Chris Yost writing, Mike McCone drawing, and this is the most explicitly tied into the Fear Itself story in that the Thing turns up who apparently is one of the, has picked up one of the hammers that's going on in the main
is
story,
that him
which
on the
I've
cover?
Not been reading. Yeah, which is why he has that sort of thing. But the story kind of covers him in one panel. Says Ben Grimm, the thing. Ben Grimm is lost. Inside him, angrier, a breaker of souls, sees Spider-Man swing by and wishes to kill him as an example to all those who would oppose his master. And then he chases off Spider-Man and they get into a fight. But it still manages to keep that to the point where the whole bit with Ben Grimm, with the thing in it, is kind of self-contained in this story. There's no... You have to wait and read the rest. You don't have to go and read the rest of the Fear Itself story to know where any of these story elements end up. If you're interested in what happens with Ben Grimm, you can go and chase it up. I've really enjoyed this. I kind of think this is how you do crossover books for events and stuff properly. I actually kind of like the fact that the Marvel and DC universes are shared universes. When it's handled properly, it can be really satisfying. Yeah. And there are ways to handle it properly.
I might talk about that more in a bit.
Oh, excellent. Mystery Man number 3, still really enjoying this series. It's the written by David Liss, art by Patrick Zerka, and it's Marvel's 5-part series set in the 40s, I think. Still very pulpy. They've had the Aviator and the gentleman thief, who's a bit Zorro-esque as well, I suppose, and the shadowy Avenger, who I guess they're all kind of based on pulp archetypes. In this issue, we also see the based on mythology character, which is kind of another archetype, has the power of an ancient sort of mythological character. And also the sort of properly mental, vengeful spirit type character, which is cool. Really, really enjoying this. The threat that they're all facing is kind of starting to solidify as well. And the art's amazing.
Super pretty, isn't it?
It's written in a really nice way that kind of flows really nicely. It's kind of nostalgic of the era without being really like static and stilted. I also want to talk about SVK, which came out this week by Warren Ellis and Disraeli. Disraeli and Warren Ellis are kind of linked from the very first thing that either of them did, Lazarus Churchyard. Actually, it might not have been the first thing that I saw of Disraeli's, but certainly it's very early in both of their careers. This is available from Berg Publishers, and I think it's only available online. And it comes packaged with a little widget, a little gizmo, a little gimmick, a little thingy, a nubbin, basically. Which is like credit card sized, and it's like those little key lights you get, but it's ultraviolet. The gimmick is that you can read the comic, and then you can shine the light over it, and other stuff's revealed, and it's cute. It's a gorgeous comic. It's one of my favourite bits of writing by Warren Ellis recently. And what it basically is a really nice sort of high concept science fiction-y thriller. I found the actual gimmick itself of shining the light over the pages, while it kind of tied into what was going on in the story, I found it actually distracting more than anything else. Because you read the page, and I don't know if it's just me, but because you have to click the thing in a certain place, I found it quite fidgety, having to shine this over the page every time. So maybe if I had my own little UV torch or something, I'd have found it a bit better.
Also, from now on, it's going to be much easier for you to identify banknotes with cocaine on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. There are a few little cute pages. There's a couple of articles, one by Paul Gravett, about the history of, like, this sort of thing, like 3D comics and stuff like that. like I said, I'm not. It's a nice gimmick. I didn't need it there. Okay, there are story elements that are hidden behind this, but they would have worked just as well as normal story elements in the page. So it's sort of. But I did think it was really good. So I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Disraeli's art is beautiful in it.
Did you get it from?
You have to get it from, I think, direct from Berg Publishing. We can always post the link online, though, on the site.
How much was it?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Okay.
Really quizzing me today.
Sorry, no, I was just saying, because there's been a lot of hype about it. But
I think with the... I don't think it was over a tenner, but, I mean, it's like a thick one-part story, but it isn't a graphic... Like, you know, it isn't... Yeah. It's
a novella.
Yeah. So I think it's actually been described as a novella. That's a very good point. It's a graphic novella.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't disappointed when I got it. When I got it and read it through, but I did find the gimmick a little bit more distracting than it was enlightening, if that makes sense.
It is cute, though.
Yeah. Jane.
Yes, hello.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
We're so polite.
Thank you.
I'm in some weird haze, as normal. Probably sleepy haze, and I forgot to pick up another comic that I read this week, Chew, number 19. So the last issue of Chew, we went forward a year.
Yeah.
And now we've gone back.
Again.
Yeah.
But in the late one, he gets teamed up with his sister,
yes,
and they go
does.
And do investigating.
It's really good. Very
so
funny.
So that one future issue was just...
A one-off.
All right, okay.
It's very bizarre. Yeah, it was really good. I didn't bring it with me, I forgot. It's all about aliens, which I thought was really cool. Well, that's going to seem to be the theme at the moment.
Cool.
So, yes, really enjoyed Chew this month. I didn't actually pick this up. I was given to it by James in a comic shop. He's like, oh, I don't know if James or Nick picked this up, but it's really good.
I picked it up.
He couldn't remember if you had, but...
that guy,
I wanted it anyway, so it's good. It's Red Wing by Image, on Image, and it's written by Jonathan Hickman. And art by Nick Batara and Rachel Rosenberg on colours.
Rochelle.
Oh, Rochelle.
Sorry.
I only read that really quickly.
You're not one of those people.
He is.
Correcting people.
If you're one of those kind of people.
People correcting me in real life are okay as long as they're not my boyfriend, because I find it the most unattractive thing ever.
When someone does that?
Yes.
You really kind of need to... I read something today that said that the research in America... has shown that men with monotone voices are more likely to have more sexual partners.
Oh yeah!
But because they
that was very monotone.
They tested it, and men were very good at and basically the men with the least pitch change in their voices were better at like these dating exercises and had more sexual partners in the last year. But I suspect that they're just more tired. The men who have had more sexual partners are just more tired, and so they have less intonation.
I reckon I've got a lot coming my way then.
Yeah, my voice is really monotonous. I didn't think it was. But what my point is, if a man is in a monotonous voice, is correcting the way what you're saying, do they cancel it out? Does the monotonous voice uber sex them up, and then them correcting you? Does that
No,
work?
I don't find a monotonous voice attractive.
Maybe you don't realise you do. Maybe it just cuts in your subaudibles, down in your cockles. Anyway, sorry,
yes.
So you don't like being corrected?
By my partner. But
okay.
Not that my partner does, but if my partner wants to correct me, I don't like it. But friends is okay.
Okay.
Yes, Red Wing, Learning to Fly. It's a futuristic... comic set in the future, but people are going back in time and different types of time to fight a war. And this is obviously issue one, so it's just laying down what's going on. There's a really good description of time in this book, time that is portrayed in this book. So they're saying it's about some space cadets who are, I guess, a space cadet.
Can I just clarify, James? She doesn't mean people who are really stoned.
Yeah.
All the time.
I mean, they are like space cadets.
Like Buck Rogers in the 25th and a half century.
Not like me at about 9:30 of an evening.
No.
Okay.
No. And they're in training, so they're in a lecture, and the lecturer is saying to them, explain to them how time is, how they portray time and how time really is.
Mm.
And he's saying that time as you believe, it travels in a line where you're born and then you die, and it's just a line. And he said how time really is. It's more of a circle, and explaining how there are different times you can move around in. It was really good. Not a lot happens, but not a lot happens, if that makes any kind of sense at all. It's the writing's really good. I really enjoyed the writing. The story is laid down quite well. You understand that there's a war. You're not really sure what it is. It could be aliens. It could be something else. But they're having to go back in time to fight, to defeat their enemies.
They're fighting it across different time zones, aren't they?
That's it, yeah. And they can leap through different times. The cadets, both their fathers have flown in this corps and were killed. And they are legacy. They have legacy. I think they call them legacies.
She calls them legacy pilots. I think she calls them legacy pilots or something because their dads were Red Wing. The Red Wing was actually their dad's squadron, I think.
Yeah.
So their dads are like early, what's it called? Casualties or whatever. So that, I think that's why it's like,
The rest is good. The artwork, though, it's, I did like it. It was a bit hit and miss in some places. That could be time constraints on it. It could have been maybe something sort of quicker than the others. But there is one panel in particular where it's one page, actually, and it's sort of made up of, seven panels, and it's got each of them a different hue and colour, and something, it takes a scenario, one scenario across all seven panels, but it's showing that's the image getting worse and something bad happening, and the image is decaying, the people and the buildings and the image are decaying. I just thought that was done so well. I really, really liked that.
The consequence of what this issue does is it gives you a really basic sense of how the time travel works in this. And also, though, it tells you about the consequences of going through time not shielded.
Yes,
and that's basically what the page you're talking about is. But, I really enjoyed it. It kind of feels like a really old, it kind of feels like mid-80s, 2000 AD stories or something, in that it's got really nice, sci-fi concepts, but with kind of, I don't know, really pulpy sort of militaristic stuff going on. Kind of, it's good. I really liked it. I said on Twitter earlier on today that I think this is the first Jonathan Hickman book I've read where I actually kind of get it. If it's the same guy. I'm not getting the names mixed up, am I?
No.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the first Jonathan Hickman book I've read where I really get it. It's like quite a complicated story.
Yeah.
Well, quite a complicated concept, but handled in a really easy to read way.
Yeah,
which is kind of the opposite experience I had to reading S.H.I.E.L.D., which was his as well. So, and Fantastic Four as well, which I always find a little bit like fidgety. I really like this as well, Jane. There's really nice design aesthetic to it as well, though, isn't there? There's kind of
The clean white pages and the white trim around a lot of the pages as well.
And to be honest, I knew literally. I don't know if
actually,
this
is
was.
That, sorry, I just realised. Is that representing? No, it's not. I wondered if it represented because it's set in the past and in the future. We're following two sort of groups of characters in this. So I was wondering if that was representing it, but it's not.
I am. Well, the break there is that it's actually like the cold open to a film or something.
Yeah.
Or a TV series, and then there's a break, and then you get the name of the show, the name of the comic. And I think they haven't established yet whether the paradoxes are a really big issue in this or anything. The two of the characters have are having an argument about it, aren't they, at one point, but it's not actually been established properly in the comic yet. I don't know about you, but I knew nothing about it beyond that cover. And I ended up picking it up solely because of the cover.
I was just giving
it. Oh, you were giving
it. Yeah, James gave it to me and said, "Oh, this is really good." And I looked through it, and my brother was with me at the time, and I was like, "What do you think?" He was like, "Yeah, it looks okay." I did let my brother choose some of the other comics. I was picking stuff up, and he was looking at me going, which, in my brother's language, yes. And
that's why you got Vampirella and How to Draw Girls.
So. four-part series, isn't it? So yes. It's going to be nice and self-contained, hopefully.
Looks which really
is
good.
It was $3.50, which is more expensive than most of the other Image books have been to start. But
do you feel bombarded with ideas, as Hickman has a tendency to do?
No, it's quite down the line story.
Solid direction to it, yeah.
Like I said, there's something that it feels like early 2000 AD, in that there's the science fiction elements are there, but they're not like, it's not all it's about. You're stuck in quite what's going to be quite an interesting. There's lots of fighter pilot stuff going on, which I'm quite interested in. I enjoy it.
I really enjoy him as a writer. I'm really enjoying FF at the moment, which I don't talk about very much on the pod, but it's
Fantastic Four, yeah?
No, FF. Fantastic Four as was, but it's now FF, Future Foundation, after Johnny Storm died.
Oh, okay.
The book was rebranded, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As you well know. Which is fine. There's a lot of ideas going on in there, and I think because I've got no history with the book, it kind of sometimes it washes over me a bit. I don't necessarily get it all. But S.H.I.E.L.D. I started buying, and I actually found a bit much.
I struggled from the first issue. I did, didn't I?
I think it'll read well as a collected as a collected edition, but there's just so much going on, so many ideas that I found it hard picking it up, reading it month from month. He's a great writer, though, Jonathan.
I'm just not that. I'm aware that it's a taste thing. I'm not that fond of world building, and that's kind of what S.H.I.E.L.D. felt like. Whereas this, it feels like the world that they're in, you're kind of only experiencing it where it's relevant to the story. If that makes sense.
I personally, I'd love an ounce of his imagination. I find him a very impressive mind.
I mean, if you only had an ounce of it, you probably wouldn't be able to make sense of it, though. Would
probably
you?
His imagination.
Yeah,
well, I'd have all my current cognitive abilities.
But do you think that imagination would be like a hologram where each little part of it gives you an insight into?
Well, I've got an imagination.
The whole...
I'd like his imagination to boost my own by an ounce.
Oh, you mean the power of it rather than any particular?
Yeah.
Like you don't want suddenly to be like Leonardo da Vinci is in the Marvel universe. But like, and that's it, and you don't get any of the rest of it. Reed Richards builds a thing, and then that's it, and you don't really have any other information.
And there's lots of them. The end.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I pass these stories.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. James, you bought some comics.
I did buy some comics. I bought Little Depressed Boy.
I did too. It's good, I think Jane, you probably did as well.
Yeah,
it's good.
I haven't read it yet.
I think it was my favourite one so far.
I think it was. I was quite rightly, Stephen Struble, when I last spoke about this, quite rightly called me out. I said I didn't know whether it had legs as an ongoing book. And I think that's just really because of the way I was reading the story. It's been a very self-contained love story about Little Depressed Boy.
Well, that's what it felt like it was supposed to be, wasn't it?
Little Depressed Boy's world is somewhat more expanded in this issue.
Mm.
His friends come back from touring and endeavours to cheer him up, ending with a road trip. He takes him on a road trip.
That's always a good way to cheer somebody up.
But, I feel kind of silly, A, because I got called out on it, which always is embarrassing.
To be fair to you, though, James, the first few issues did feel like it feels like the first few issues were like the prologue to the rest of the story.
Yeah.
But that's while you're reading them, it feels like this is going to be a book about a guy in a town. It felt like it was all going to be about him loving the girl and not getting her.
One thing I've really connected with him as a character.
Mm.
You know, obviously his relationship with Weird Girl's gone slightly sour, and so he is a little depressed boy again. You really find yourself feeling for him.
Yeah.
He's I don't know. He reminds me of a friend of mine that we all know. He looks very similar.
Me?
No.
Oh, the other one.
Oh, you're so self-obsessed.
The other one.
I'm not. I'm just. I feel weird.
No, it's a different friend. He does look very similar to him as well. I really like the book. It's very well written. It's written with a sparing hand, isn't it? The art's quite idiosyncratic.
I don't know which hand he uses.
The spare one.
Oh, okay.
The art's very idiosyncratic, isn't it? And works beautifully.
I do love the art.
I think it looks... Yeah, and I think it's getting... better as well.
Yeah, it is.
It's hard to say. It's getting more, like, comfortable.
But it's a book packed full of charm, isn't it? And sort of whimsy, and I like it a lot.
I definitely like that it's getting better as well.
So do I. I think it is very much.
Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Flashpoint Corner.
Cool.
I am going to get all the badges.
Is that what you're doing?
That's probably it. This week was one of three, Flashpoint Legion of Doom, which follows Heatwave, who's Heatwave in the Flashpoint universe, but it opens with him killing Jason Rorsch.
Right. Who are those? Jason Rorsch. I don't know who any of those people are.
Heatwave's Heatwave. Jason, he's a Flash.
Is he a Transformer?
He's a Flash villain.
Oh, is there a Transformer called Heatwave?
I don't know. Soundwave?
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe they're brothers.
He sounds a bit like a Cylon, doesn't he, Soundwave?
Beedy, beedy, beedy. No, that's not Cylon,
fucking
is it?
Hell, that's from Flash Gordon again.
No,
that's Twinky.
Buck Rogers.
Yeah, he's a Flash villain. And
that's the chair, by the way. I'm in a different chair.
Look, this is complicated. It's hard to get through this.
Okay.
But in the opening panels, he appears to kill the Flashpoint universe Jason Rorsch. Rorsch.
Who is that, though?
I'm going to tell you. Okay. You let me.
This is too exciting. Young man. This is like watching Lost with my wife.
Firestorm.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
He's the current Firestorm in the main DC continuity at the moment. And then he goes on a roll. Cyborg tracks him down. Smacks him down, man. And he goes to a prison that is controlled by Green Arrow Industries.
Which is the book that you didn't buy because you wanted the badge off this one.
Can't remember. It's a wicked badge, though. Yeah. It's a cool badge.
Did you like the comic?
Hold on. I'm getting there. I haven't finished.
I feel a little bit like I said, where we're watching Lost at the moment, basically any story element that comes up that doesn't immediately explain itself, my wife goes, oh, well, but why would they do that? And I'm like, well, maybe it'll come up in a minute. I don't know. But I don't know. Which is what I'm doing to James. And is it infuriating, James?
I'm fucking apoplectic with rage. Because it ends Plastic Man turns up at the end.
Plastic Man's alive.
Plastic Man is not only
but
alive.
He's dead.
Plastic Man's Plastic Man, but he's allied. He's allied in this universe to a villain.
Allied.
In this.
Is he alive? Though?
He's. Look at him. Look how alive he is.
Is he full of vim and vigor?
He's full of spunk
and piss and vinegar. Spunk, piss and vinegar, vim and vigor.
It was a strange story to follow.
I really did think you were saying alive wrong.
No, fuck off. Right, no.
He's allied.
It was an odd one to follow, this. And actually, of all the Flashpoint books I've read so far, probably enjoyed this one the least.
Oh.
But you've got a nice badge.
It's not a very nice badge. Not so I didn't enjoy it at all. It has some merit and it expands the Flashpoint universe. I was talking to James, who's getting lots of mentions today in the comic book shop, who said he's too really enjoying, I think for him Flashpoint's clicked.
He's loving it,
really enjoying the event.
The other thing is, I'm kind of I think I'm kind of soured on alternate universe things as well, so it's kind of, maybe that's why I'm not.
Well, I thought I had massive event fatigue, but I'm just getting such a kick out of Flashpoint. I don't give a shit. I'm really enjoying it. It's rated as a teen book. However, it's possibly the most violent book I've read, graphically violent book I've read.
Someone got their arm ripped off in a Fear
in a
Itself
long time.
The week.
Yeah, but it's the violence is shocking and disarming. The death of Jason Rorsch, who's basically not Firestorm, doesn't look like he's developed his powers necessarily in this universe. Literally just burnt to death on the platform of a subway. And later on, Plastic Man's appearance, with the help of the Clue Master, is really shocking, actually.
My goodness.
And seems, for some reason, because of the... There was something about the story that made it feel a lot more gratuitous than... So I was just shocked at the level of violence that appeared in it and how graphic it was.
The upside to all of that is that maybe I don't need to be too upset about the fact that now John Constantine and Swamp Thing are going to be in the DC Universe, because I thought, well, they can't help but water them down a little bit, but maybe the rest of the DC Universe is just becoming that horrible.
Yeah, no effing and jeffing, but you can burn people
to death
on a subway platform. Talking of gratuitous violence, Punisher Max.
I've kind of
talked about this every single time, every issue.
Boil it down to the basics.
It's retelling John Constantine.
John Constantine's in Punisher Max.
It's retelling Frank Castle's origin story in flashback while he's in prison in solitary confinement. In an awful state of disrepair, waiting for someone to make a move.
Mm-hmm. Seems like he's been waiting for that for the last couple of months.
Yeah, because this is the fourth part of a five-part story. The penultimate part, gut-wrenching, frankly. Beautifully told story, beautifully paced, beautifully constructed as a comic book as well. It's so clean and linear, yet that doesn't make it dull and as it could do. I'm overwhelmed as to how much I enjoy this book. The writing is absolutely pitch perfect. The way the flashback is handled is incredible. The Frank's dialogue never feels stilted or dull or cliched. It feels like it's bringing something fresh to an origin story of a well-established character. I think, as I've said at length before, the first couple of issues of the Jason Aaron's run, I wasn't too sure about. I actually think, having got to the 15th issue, I think it could well be seen when he finishes this as being a classic, in the same way that people look back at Ennis's run and see that as being a classic run of the Punisher. I fucking adore this book.
Nice that he's showing some restraint as well.
Yeah.
With this, kind of.
I think this storyline in particular, I think when collected, should just be essential reading for anyone who likes the Punisher. It's awesome.
I'm quite looking forward to Greg Rucka on the book as well, though, because he... What?
That's a news bit.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry, James.
You've ruined the news now.
Shall we do the news now?
Well, there's no point. You've ruined it.
Is that all of the news?
I actually have a newspaper.
Hold on. There's an order to this. Hold your horses.
Right. You've got a newspaper?
Yep.
I'm really confused. We're not covering normal news, are we?
No. It's all right. It's fine. It's all... News ambush! We segued into that so fucking well. That was genius.
I think we did a brilliant job.
First up, Tintin trailer. The new longer Tintin trailer.
Looks
is
sexy.
Out. Apparently, I haven't seen it.
Haven't you? It looks sexy.
I know, I haven't had a chance.
Apparently, Jane has a newspaper.
I'm coming to that!
In the background.
I'm trying to be so quiet.
I'm coming to that. Stop referring to it. I never show up. You're ambushing the news ambush.
It's a good trailer, James. You should watch it.
I will do.
John Carter of Mars looks good as well.
Yes, I've heard. Which is exciting. I would like to direct you, lady and gentlemen, to George Beedham's site, Jambo.
Jambo.
The Mighty Jambo, notregret.com, where he still has guests, drawthers, in his massive crossover event. This week
He's basically got himself out of drawing it for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's a jammy bastard, excuse the pun. Rich Illy, I forget his name, Richie, who we met when we went to Leeds.
He's doing it this week,
so he's got a very funky style to his art. So, yeah, notregret.com, go there. John Scrivens has stopped procrastinating and he's drawing again.
Yay!
That's all that news.
Okay.
Timothy Swan will very soon have a comedy podcast out with a friend in September.
Is that what it's called, September?
No, it's coming out in September, but I was going to say watch this space. Don't watch this space. Watch the space where it's going to appear, but he was telling me about it earlier, and it sounds like it's going to be excellent. But he contributes to our show a lot. So
I believe we may have something from him today.
Yeah, if you like listening to him talk here, it's going to be a comedy podcast about psychology called Psychomedia by he and a friend. And
Psy?
Yeah.
as in psychology.
Comedia.
But Comedia.
It's a clever name. It's a clever name. I like it.
I like that.
And the first episode is going to be on the topic of memory, and sounds like it'll be quite successful and good fun. Which is excellent.
I'm
genuinely looking forward to listening to that. He's a very intelligent young man.
My wife might even want to listen to that, and she doesn't want to listen to this. So.
I'm jealous of both his youth and his intellect.
Hmm.
Makes me want to spit on the floor.
That's just your lack of education showing through there. Why would you spit on the floor? That's disgusting.
Well, that's how we roll it in my manner. As far as other news goes, San Diego seems to be swamping everything at the moment. All the news seems to be about the wind-up for San Diego. So
yeah,
I'm sure if you're going, it's very exciting for you. San Diego seems so far away from me, and I'm so unlikely to ever go there. That
we're getting a little bit of physical theatre in the room.
I tend to not go there. I'm being quite expressive.
Yeah.
It's good.
Have you got a bit of Greek in you?
Would I like some? Yeah, a couple of inches. It's gone weird now. Greg Rucka's on Punisher.
Is he?
And really? He's been talking at length about it. Apparently, I was talking about the Frank's monologues. Apparently, he's going to move away from the War Diary-style monologues with Frank. Sounds like he's going to couch him more firmly in the Marvel Universe.
Didn't Rick Remender do that just now, though?
No, there was still like Frank's monologue. Hmm. It seems to me like he was moving away. And yeah, Rick Remender did something very interesting with The Punisher. I think it sounds like Greg Rucka wants to, like I say, couch him very much in the Marvel Universe. Keep him very much as Frank. But from what I've read, it sounds like he's got something fresh and new to bring to the character in the mainstream sort of titles.
I love Greg Rucka.
I am super excited about Greg Rucka picking up the Punisher. Jane has news of her own.
What's Jane's news?
Should read that.
Yes, I'll read it. I picked up the Metro, which is a free newspaper that you only used to be able to get in London train station. Now you can get it in most train stations.
Available in the provinces.
And I was having a flick through, and I came across a title of an article called The Guide to Tackling a Zombie Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I won't read the whole article.
No, read it. It's only quick.
Yeah, but this, there's the
I read it earlier, I got through it in about a minute.
Yeah, that's the difference, okay.
Were you skipping all the really difficult words there, James?
Do you really want me to read this out?
Yeah, I'll read it out if you want.
Okay, you can read it out.
You sure?
Yeah.
You can do the bit. It seems like any other day, but in the city streets, until you come under attack from flesh-eating zombies. What to do? Luckily, you've remembered to bring your council guide to fending off the unwanted attentions of the undead. The document shows the best way to kill those bothersome reanimated corpses. It outlines a 4-stage alert system following an invasion and says code words will be used to provide secret instructions to the public. The brief also includes details of how people can equip themselves with weapons such as stun guns and protective suits. Bristol City Council has set out the advice in response to a Freedom of Information request. In its contingency plan for the handling of zombie outbreaks in Bristol, it says the moment to get really worried is when infections hit 30% or zombie pandemic level. This is when you'll need to kill a zombie correctly, and the public is reminded to fully disconnect the brainstem from the body through blunt force or forehead removal.
Remove the head.
Yeah, but it might be best just to head for a council building where somebody might know what to do. An annual training schedule for designated officers in place, the document adds reassuringly. I cocked up a lot of words in that, didn't I? You noticed
Which is
that.
Why I didn't read it out.
Yeah.
So for those of you listening who aren't in the UK, a Freedom of Information request is something that anybody can do to any public-run organisation within the UK, including the health service, the councils, where they can put requests in to find out some information, and within 30 days, the body that you're requesting information from has to come back to you.
I answered one today.
I've answered quite a few in my career.
Fucking top trumps. It's just relevant. I just said I was doing it. You're doing a top trumps thing again.
Jane did it before.
I've done 60,000.
Wow, more dramatic match. And so someone's obviously asked them what their guidelines are, and they don't have any, so they've decided to publish some, which could be a good thing, maybe not, I don't know.
They,
It actually it has here what the actual guidelines are if you'd like to hear them.
Well, as I've are there any the particular ones that jump out? Because remove the head from the, I assume the stun gun is useful for
stunning them for a bit.
For normal members, well, they wouldn't stun a zombie, but it might be useful for
you
like.
Ever stun gun the zombie?
It wouldn't hurt them. They wouldn't feel it, James. You have to remove the head.
There are some quite funny ones here. Correct zombie killing procedure. 1. Fully disconnect the brainstem from the body to decapitate by decapitation. 2. Avoid all unprotected contact.
So wear a condom.
3. Do not approach unless adequately armed. Zombies are extremely aggressive. The other one that was quite...
Only when... round up, though. Or is that wasps?
And the employment opportunities was quite good. I might apply for this. Fully trained zombie staff may qualify for accreditation in future courses in handling pirate outbreaks and for spotting the difference between hot air balloons and UFOs.
I like that they've mischievously identified some areas in Bristol.
In Bristol, they're hotspot areas. Yeah.
Is that a little bit, like...
divisive.
Elitist. Yeah. Possibly.
It depends. They might be the posh areas of Bristol.
Shirehampton, Totterdown, Whitchurch Park. The Big Issue had an article on this about years and years ago about all of the different contingency plans that different towns that I can't remember. I think it was London specifically about all the different contingency plans that they have. Mm. Because basically they have to, I think.
Yeah, I've written a contingency plan in the past.
If something happens, we're unlikely to get. I think the crux of that, because it was post zombies being really like popular, was they were kind of joking about the fact they had contingency plans for alien invasion or alien first contact or something. But if we had an alien first contact or a zombie invasion and they didn't have guidelines, people would complain, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, they'd be dead.
Well, some of them would be dead.
And then they'd complain.
From the grave.
But I think they've got contingency plans for lots of things.
Yeah.
But I'd be surprised if they
do all sorts of exciting tabletop exercises to see they work and stuff. It's exciting.
Excellent. That sounds really cool.
Mom news. Oh, did I mention John Scrivens is drawing again?
Yes.
Yes.
John Scrivens is drawing again.
Yes, that's the second time you've mentioned it.
Good. Mom news. Yes. 2 pieces of mom news.
Yes.
First piece of mom news.
Yes. How many syllables?
Sounds like we're having a week off. We're going to have a week off. Not
right.
Next week, but the following week, which will be the 25th?
That's a Monday.
You sure? Don't think it is.
I think it is.
Where's my phone?
It's a Monday.
Funny if one of us had a calendar to hand.
It's a Monday.
Is it?
It's a Monday.
You sure?
I thought it was next week.
No, it's a week after.
Is that when you're away?
The week after. No, I'm not away next week.
When are you away, Nick?
I think I'm away next week.
Fucking bombshell. You didn't say that at all.
Either we away the week after.
What's the date next
There may
Thursday?
Not be one next week
are
because
you,
we thought Nick
are you
was
away
here.
The week after?
It
was still a problem.
I'm really confused.
I'm fucking confused.
What's the date next Thursday?
21st.
Oh no, maybe it's the week after.
Jesus fucking Christ.
If I had my phone, I could text my wife. She does all this stuff.
Fucking hell, that's fucking rotten. You're right, the 25th month. The 28th,
uh-huh.
There won't be a momcast.
Right.
Because you're probably on holiday if your wife tells you you are. And I'm on holiday as well.
Yeah.
There will be one the week after, the 4th of August, though.
It's good that we took the time to discuss this yesterday lunchtime as well, isn't it? But, you know, you should know better than to expect me to remember any of this stuff. Just
I'm not talking
Amy.
To you now. You've made me very cross, Nick.
Well, okay,
he's
good.
Putting you in his book.
Yeah. Nick.
Oh, he's naughty.
Nick. He's Nick. Putting me in the
list. I'll just put Nick P. I know who you are. So, there will be one next week, the week after. I'm afraid there won't be a momcast. First time in almost 2 years there won't be a momcast on a Thursday, but we're going to have some time off.
We need a break.
I really need a holiday. I'm frazzled.
I might have just been talking really loud then to see what happens to the... No, it seems to be working okay. Right.
Okay, good. The other bit of news is on the 25th of August, so that's the 25th of
August,
we will be recording our 100th Momcast.
100th?
That's 100.
Twice as many as we did when we did the 50.
Yeah, and we'll probably stop doing sort of self-aggrandizing celebratory podcasts now until I reckon the 200th.
Yeah, 200.
So let us have the 100th.
Yeah.
And then we stop the backslapping for 100 shows.
Yeah.
I did a bit of a Nazi salute.
Yeah,
there,
I don't know why you're doing that.
I don't know what the fuck's going on there. That's weird. For our 100th show, there will be a theme.
Mm-hmm.
The theme of the show will be the favourite things that have happened in comics over the last 2 years that Momcast have been.
Yes.
On the air, in existence.
Around.
In the universe.
And about.
And, dear listener, we would like you and your friends and your family to contribute in two different ways. You can either create a 5 to 10 minute audio parody of Momcast if you wish.
Do your own little Momcast.
Yeah, do a mini Momcast if you wish. So you'll need yourself and two other idiots, and they will need to be idiots to truly capture the spirit of Momcast. Or if you are interested and available from about 7 p.m. British summer time.
Yes.
On the 25th of August, we would like to invite people to Skype in and talk to us and tell us what they like about comics one by one.
Yes.
And Jane and I will take the day off work the next day and we'll buy a pizza on the way here.
That sounds good.
Yes,
that
good idea.
Really,
that's a really good.
Good
idea, isn't it?
That's an awesome idea.
That was my idea, wasn't it?
It's a good
it was,
idea.
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah, me. So we'd really like you guys to get involved. The aim is not for this to be a backslapping exercise, but feel free to slap away if you wish. But we'd really like you guys to get involved and make the show a little bit different from normal, so we might not do spinning orders and stuff.
Like Justin Lee Collins
said. We'll
just
talk about our favourite things. Justin Lee what?
Justin Lee Collins. Get involved! That's what he says.
Did he?
Apparently.
I don't really care for him very much.
No. No, me neither, actually, thinking about it.
That's the news.
We
then.
Still also have a few people have contacted us about the free paper science comic.
We've
that
got
we
a couple left, haven't
that
we?
Last week, yeah, and a few couple of the people left. Who have emailed us have been kind of concerned that we might have run out. Yes, you can have one too.
Can I talk? Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, do I have to enter the competition? Because I wasn't
It's not
here.
A competition.
You just give me
They just have to tell us their address.
It's just a writing thing.
Just email us.
I live.
At... No, don't tell us.
No, where do you live?
We know it. You can take one with you.
Number one, North Pole. That's where I've moved to.
Email us at momcast@gmail.com.
And mark your email, what, Jane Santa Claus now?
Yeah, it's all a bit confusing. We still have loads, don't worry. And actually the 15 was kind of arbitrary. We've got a few more than that. So just get in touch with us. It'll be cool. A few people have been in touch, though. So far it is more successful than the Baconese experiment.
Oh, don't talk about the Baconese. It stresses
me out. I am
not
being held accountable for this. I'm waiting for sketches. Once I have sketches,
yeah,
it'll
Nick,
make sense.
You need to give Jane the
sketch. I need sketches.
I don't know where it is.
And you're going to do a sketch.
Oh, shit, I've got to do one. Make me do one this weekend. And give Jane the sketch that David did.
Once I have the sketches, it'll be in the post. Timothy, I promise.
That was your responsibility.
I've been waiting.
Looking after that.
okay, but that is everything.
No. John Scrivens is drawing again.
Excellent.
Could I mention that already?
Yes.
God, I love John Scrivens.
I know. But he's probably too young for that to be appropriate, James.
I haven't met him, and I think it's best it stays that way.
He's 23 or 4.
So very young.
Timothy Swan, Timothy Swan. He'll break your arm, break your arm. With his bloody great wing.
That's right, it's me, the man who already has 16 subscribers to his podcast, despite the fact he doesn't even have a first episode and has no idea when it's going to come out. Trust me, I'll let you know when it does. I will really, really let you know. I haven't been around the last couple of weeks because I've not really been reading any new comics and have been a bit worn out by work. But I've returned to talk to you about two interlinked black and white diary comics, one of which you'll probably have read or at least heard about, the other being perhaps more obscure. The first is Adam Cadwell's The Everyday. I've met Cadwell once, but I don't really remember how it went, on account of the fact that I'd only ever experienced him secondhand via Ellabisms. I was cheeky to Mark Ellaby and then went on my way with Chloe Noonan number 2, whose name is far too similar to Becky Cloonan for my liking. Anyway, I've recently, in between a bit of Homestuck and a lot of Elephant Words, which isn't a comic but it is sequential and on the internet, so I've been reading, finally reading, Cadwell's diary comic. Though to call it a diary comic perhaps suggests that it's something less than what it is. What it is stylistically beautiful, making use of black and white in a way that I don't think I've seen outside of, say, Particle Fiction. I read a few black and white comics, but even those that are immensely accomplished at plotting, like Sluggy Freelance, don't have this panache. And the writing, such as it is, the selection of moments of Cadwell's life, take the everyday and make it into something magical, something entertaining, something with so much verisimilitude and zero mundanity. I really like it. I can't imagine the insanity it must create trying to write it. I'm not a blogger. I'm not an autobiographical comic writer. I've started on my autobiography, but that was because someone asked me a question more easily answered by writing one, and it's A, a distorted version of my personal history, and B, not really concerned with my day-to-day life. So I have a different sort of admiration for the journalists to that of storytellers, perhaps because I'm vaguely sure I can write a story, and I can't diarise at all. Having said this, his The King of Everything, which starts in Paper Science 4, which you can get for free from this podcast, or in my case, by an error in my favour, is totally fantastical and totally fantastic. The Everyday manages to be comical and poignant, which comes out in one of its later characters, Kayla Hillier, whose first appearance in number 185 really brings out both of those qualities. I really like the way he draws her, because, having described her as the prettiest girl he's ever seen, there's something about her incarnation in the pages of The Everyday that really captures not merely who she is, but his emotions towards her. There was literally no way I wasn't going to see the story from her side in her tale of her journey to England, to Gallivant. Also, Gallivant is a cool word. It starts with her stymied attempts to get over here at all, in a somewhat cartoony style, with some conveying scenes and some conveying metaphors, and some nice choices in laying out the page, letting us get the sense of events in a way rather different to The Everyday, which focuses in on one moment at a time, doesn't really have a sense of narrative. This tale is about the journey, the taking out of time to discover comics, and document that discovery in comic form. It manages to move from her serious life choices to the fun she has with her friends. She is admirably honest about her thoughts and her feelings, which I guess if you're opening up your internal world in comic form is actually really important. She talks about her style being blunt and direct and her not really getting why British people pussyfoot around things, which perhaps makes it interesting that Cadwell's first appearance is met with a lot of ambivalence and curiosity in contrast to the vice versa. The pages are packed with detail, which some people might find a little busy, but I appreciate in some cases. Say in Subnormality, it's absolutely critical. Man, I really have to talk about Subnormality on another pod sometime. It's an immensely emotional comic, which I think is fascinating. The story, such as it is compelling, and therefore must be well-written, even though it happened. I find that weird. But cool. Okay, if you want to read these interwoven comics, go to theeveryday.adamcadwell.com and togallivant.com, respectively. I definitely recommend them, especially if you haven't been impressed by autobiographical comics before. And if you want to talk to me, try at TetrarchAngel on Twitter, or MarvinThePAranoid.deviantart.com, or TetrarchAngel.tumblr.com, or basically TetrarchAngel on anything on the internet. And that's where you'll find poetry, short stories, musings, ramblings, etc. And until next time, read all about it. Read all about it. Sun on Sunday. Sun on Sunday.
Can I do my spotlight now? Because we have to go in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. Spotlight.
What's happening?
Stuff.
Experiments. You don't want to be here for them.
Stuffy experiments. You don't want to be here, James. You want to be out of here. Right.
Bob's Donuts.
A couple of weeks ago, Blank Slate very kindly offered to send us review copies of books that I had just ordered that week So, but it was really cool. I've been in touch with them, but... I'd actually just ordered a bunch of books from them anyway. So I'm going to rush through them because I've been getting loads of stuff this week. I got two books by Mauel. I've talked about Mauel lot before. He's a German cartoonist who is just brilliant. One of them is called The Band, and it's about his... They're both autobiographical. One of them is called The Band, and it's about a band that he was in when he was a kid. Well, when he was a teenager, really. And the other is called Home and Away, and it's basically about him travelling around. It's nothing to do with the soap opera. It's basically to do with him travelling around. There's a few different stories in here. One that is probably the centrepiece of it, really, is him going to, I think it's France, to a...
Beachside bar where a kindly man called Alf Roberts...
No.
...takes him under his
wing. No!
All right.
To like a hippie, a hippie commune with his friends. But the thing about Mauel that I really like, I mean, I love the way he draws women, but he's got quite a scratchy lens. Owes quite a lot to Sergio Aragonés and people like that. He's quite sort of expressionistic and crazy, crazy art. But James, stop it.
I was mimicking the hand gesture you were doing, which looks like someone milking a very tall cow.
But what I like about him is how crushingly self-conscious and socially incapable Mauel is. It's funny, the main reason he goes to this, he kind of hears that a friend of his tells him that girls do, like, nude yoga at this like, commune-style get-together festival-y thing. So that's why he wants to go, because he's hoping he'll get to meet girls.
Naked women.
But then he gets there and he finds, and I think it's roughly how I feel when I get to festivals or any kind of big, like, hippie-ish thing, he finds that actually he's quite awkward and quite uncomfortable with it.
Massively intimidating experiences.
Yeah. But I've talked about Mauel a lot, so I'm not going to go on too much about that, except that I really like these books. Possibly my favourite book of his is still the first one, Beach Safari, that I read.
Yeah, that was good.
Because it's got a rabbit and it's got naked ladies in, but I really, really like his
autobiography. It has a sort of crumb sensibility as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sort of frenetic, sort of.
Yeah, I really like it. It's good. The Accidental Salad by Joe Dechy. I guess is how you pronounce it, or Dacey, is quite an absurdist. It's sort of like a comic diary, really. It's oversized, and the art is quite realistic and really nice ink
very
washes.
The cover's very painted.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, kind of watercolory or ink washy, definitely. Really pretty. I think he's based in England, but I'm not sure where in England. And it's Geoffrey Brown. There's a quote by Geoffrey Brown on the back, and I thought a lot about James Kochalka while I was reading this as well, because literally none of the strips are more than a page, except in one case where it's actually two pages.
Yeah.
There's stories about there's just little one page stories observing life with a small child, because him and his partner have a son, but also with the life of just a guy, basically, who I guess maybe I quite like it because, like James Kochalka, but slightly more whimsical and slightly
more
less
whimsical.
Pretentious than James Kochalka sometimes is. It feels very British as well. The whimsy is kind of much more like just surreal rather than he doesn't the way James Kochalka sometimes ends up going really cosmic and crazy. That doesn't really happen with this. There's just whimsy. I like it. It's really good observational comics, and it's good. Accidental Salad by Joe Dechy. I don't think James knows why we have to get out by a certain time.
He looks
really perplexed.
The experiments. Do you want to be experimented?
No one tells me shit anymore.
Okay, finally, this has been on my Amazon wishlist for ages, but I took the plunge and bought it myself this week. Normally, especially if you're in the UK, the prices from Blank Slate Books themselves are really good So you should go to Blank Slate Books' website. But Psychiatric Tales I did pick up from Amazon because it was slightly cheaper. Psychiatric Tales by Daryl Cunningham. Really nice, quite hardback. Really sort of scratchy, black and white cartoon art inside. But it's mainly made up of Daryl Cunningham's observations having been a psychiatric nurse. Different areas of the life of a psychiatric nurse, the experience they have, but also it splits off into chapters where he discusses particular areas of mental health problems, which is kind of enlightening, but also the fact that I hesitate to say it's not really light reading at all, but it's not really heavy-handed either. There is a section on suicide. There's also a section. There's a chapter on people with mental illness enrich our lives, it's called, but it's basically about well-known people who have mental health issues, like Winston had mental health issues, like Winston Churchill, Judy Garland, Brian Wilson, people like that. It's more informational than entertaining necessarily, but like I said, because he's talking about his art, sometimes reminds me of Scott McCloud, which is quite easy to look at, and because he uses examples of actual people that he were patients at the hospital he worked at, it kind of does personalise a lot of the issues in here. I wasn't sure how I'd feel about this. I wasn't sure how I'd feel about this because my relationship with the way mental health is normally discussed and talked about is quite complicated. But I find that sometimes it veers far too much in one direction or the other. It either talks about mental, like people with mental health issues, as if like they're ridiculous, or you know, it's either derisive, or it goes the other way and kind of almost romanticizes it a little bit. Certain campaigns recently by certain celebrities have kind of been quite, I think, have romanticized it, when actually it's just a thing that it's a thing that goes wrong with people that people have to deal with, that normal people have to deal with a lot of the time. I don't mean normal people as in people who don't have mental health issues. I mean normal people as in people who aren't celebrities, you know. So it's not mundane, but it's kind of pretty much a fact of life that I think is sometimes treated as more abnormal or more potentially wonderful than it actually is, and it makes me really uncomfortable. This book doesn't really romanticize anything. Even the section that talks about famous figures is very down the line. It talks about what they achieved. It also talks about what their condition is. It mentions Winston Churchill's black dog, which we've talked about a little bit on the show. What kind of pulls it all together, for me certainly, is although it does look at the patients as individual, although it does look at the patients and their conditions the whole way through in quite a matter-of-fact way, the final section is about the fact that between two of the chapters in the book, Daryl Cunningham had his own issues, and he talks about his life from the perspective of later having a bit of a breakdown, where everything kind of comes to a head while he's doing the book and also studying to be a... he's studying to qualify as an actual psychiatric nurse, I think, where it all kind of falls apart from him. But he talks very openly and frankly about the fact that his entire life he's kind of struggled to fit in, struggled with issues of self-worth and stuff like that. And it kind of made me feel that one of the things that I always feel about this is that people talk about it as if their perspective on it, their own life experience, doesn't really colour the way they look at these things, but he's quite open about like his stance on this and why possibly he got into psychiatric care in the first place. I am gonna pass this to Amy because she, although it's a slightly different field, and she doesn't really read comics, but because I know it's a slightly different field, but where she teaches psychology, I think she's probably going to find this quite fascinating as well. There's a section on bipolarity, there's a section on schizophrenia, on self-harming, on suicide. There was stuff about self-harming that I didn't, that I found quite illuminating in here as well. So, really, really good book. The retail, the RRP is £11.99, but it's normally cheaper. From Blank Slate, I think it's slightly cheaper, and Amazon, it's slightly cheaper. Really nice package. Blank Slate are putting out some really good books.
Yeah.
I like them. And I'm sorry if I rushed through that a little bit, but they're good.
Thanks.
And that's the spotlight.
Thanks, Nick. What are you doing this week, James?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
You don't? We've got
No, we haven't. We really haven't.
Oh, okay. No, we haven't.
I've got exams.
Exams?
Yeah, everyone keeps saying that when I say I've got exams.
Really? What are you studying? I didn't know
I'm
you were studying.
A professional qualification.
Oh, okay. That sounds ominous, oddly. A professional qualification?
Yes.
Okay, cool. James?
Nothing.
You're literally doing nothing?
Nothing.
Are you going to help me with my tree at the weekend?
No.
Okay. That sounds dodgy.
Oh, I might be doing something with my tree at the weekend.
I'm going to be avoiding getting roped into helping people cut in trees there.
I'm going out for dinner tomorrow.
Oh, yes. Yes, so am I.
That'd be nice for you both. We stay at home in a leper colony.
It's just a family thing.
It's nice.
Only Mediterraneans and their significant others allowed.
It's nice to be. When you don't get out much, when you've had a kid, it's really nice for your friends to think about you and ask you if you'd like to join them. It's nice to be thought about.
You might be able to get a refund on Scarlett.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's no possible way we could ever organise a babysitter.
We might have another voucher. So, I'm sure it's...
So, no, yeah, thanks for the afterthought. No.
I think we
it.
Were talking about it when we weren't at Scarlett's
Purely,
party the other day.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't invite you to her family birthday. I'm sorry you're not part
cry.
Of her family.
Don't cry, James.
No, this is all... This the Moncast now is purely... Professional relationship now. That's it. Done. Very upset. Fuck that. I'm too knackered to fucking go out on a Friday night anyway.
Well, there you go. Thank you to our contributors, if there's more than one. Thank you to our listener for
trying
listening.
Trying to do stony face at you, and I cracked. I'm going.
I thought Judge Dredd was sitting across the table. thank you to our listener for listening. And thank you, that's it, isn't it, really? Yeah. Thank you to you two for being awesome.
Definitely one next week, but not the week after.
Yes.
You're definitely not away next weekend.
I don't know.
We'll
I don't know
out.
What's
we'll
going
clarify.
On.
Well, if we've got time, because apparently something...
No, we'll be alright, we just need to go.
Okay, bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
Drove downtown in the rain, 9:30 on a Tuesday night. Just to check out the late night record shop. Call it impulsive, call it compulsive, call it insane. But when I'm surrounded, I just can't stop. It's a matter of instinct, it's a matter of conditioning, a matter of fact. You can call me Pavlov, dog. Ring a bell and I'll salivate. How'd you like that? Dr. Landy, tell me you're not just a pedagogue. Cause right now I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Well, I'm lying in bed, just like Brian Wilson did. Like Brian Wilson did.
you want to find me, I'll be out in the sandbox, just wondering where the hell all the love is gone. I'm playing my guitar and building castles in the sun, whoa, 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 and saying fun, fun, fun. I'm lying in bed just like Brian Wilson. Somebody help me, because I